Psalm 98. This will sound very familiar if you were here last week. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Remember that part? We went into the new song, and I'll get back into it today. I wasn't supposed to say anything. I'm sorry. Here we go. I'll start again. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly shown in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of the psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Let's bow our heads for just a moment and ask the Lord to free our minds from anything else that might keep us from worshiping him today and giving him the praise that is due him. Our Father in heaven, we do so thank you for this time of being in your house to worship you. And Lord, I do pray that every heart here today came ready to worship because we have been worshiping you all week. You deserve it, Lord. The glory is yours, and we praise you for everything that you've done already today, and I'm going to praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll repeat what I said last Sunday from Psalm 96, and that was, for man, the supreme thing in life is to worship God. That's the supreme thing. Doesn't matter what you think you were supposed to do when you were a kid. Your parents said, I want you to grow up to be a fine young man. I want you to grow up to be a fine young lady. I want you to get a good job, good education. I want you to make a good salary, and I want you to own a fine home, and I want you to do these things. And all of us parents want those things for our children, but we sometimes treat those like they are supreme in life, and that we should somehow or other adhere to that, and that should be all that we do. Well, that's not exactly where the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to, the supreme thing in our life is to worship him in holiness, if you remember last Sunday, in holiness, and this Sunday also in praise. A song of praise is usually written and sang because of his redeeming love for our lives. That's the new song. We sing a song of redemption. The song of redemption is a new song. The reason it's new is because you're redeemed once in life. It comes to you at whatever age it comes to you. You have accepted that redemption as your way of salvation. You have accepted the plan that God has for you, and it becomes a new song. And from then on, the new song ought to be there, and we ought to be singing it. Salvation, to me, is what brought the new song to me, and I'm sure that that's what brought it to you, because it brought a new awareness of God that we never had before. It brought about wonders about him that we read in the Bible, all the wonders of God. And then it brought a certain joy that you just simply can't explain. I believe a person has to experience that joy that comes by giving your life to Jesus Christ and knowing from that moment on you're his child and he's your father. And by that, you make heaven your home. So that when it comes time to leave this world, and we all are, that we're ready to go where we wanted to go, and that is heaven. I don't think there's anybody in here today who would honestly say, I want to go to hell. That would have been a good place for an amen, because I don't think anybody wants to go to hell, right? No, we want to go to heaven. And God's made a way for us to go to heaven. So he has given us his salvation to change us from what we were to what we are so that we're heaven bound and we can sing that new song. This is a concealed, Psalm 98 is a concealed look to a revealed look, which will be in the New Testament, of the story of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you're going to see that now because that's the reason I told the sound room to get ready for Luke chapter 1. I'm going to do this, and you're saying, well, it's not Christmas yet. Surely we're not doing Luke chapter 1. Yes, we are, because Psalm 98 takes us to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll see that as we get into it. And here's what happened when the Lord came the first time, when he came and was born in a manger in Bethlehem. I'm going to do extensive reading, so hang on, okay? In Luke 1, here's where we began, 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. That's happening. Now, we'll do more about that in December. But right now, this has to do with Psalm 98. And it has to do with just a little bit different view than a baby in a manger. Listen closely at the language of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. He, in verse 32, he shall be great. I just pause just every once in a while. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Then he gives her some interesting information here. And behold thy cousin Elizabeth. We've all got cousins, don't we? Well, he mentioned Mary's cousin. I love my cousins. I do. She hath also conceived a son in her old age. God's good. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Oh, she couldn't have a child. But 6 months later, she's with child. Is that my Father, my God in heaven? That's exactly who he is. And we're going to see a lot of that in Psalm 98. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Huh? Oh, yeah. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. He's gone. Went back where he came from. But here, Mary is left with her perplexed mind about what's going on. And so she thinks, who in the world can I talk to? I have this huge thing going on in my life. I've just had an angel come and visit me and tell me that I'm going to be with child. I've not even been with a man. And here I am going to have a child. Now, how's this thing going to be? I got to talk to somebody, but she can't talk to her boyfriend. She couldn't go to Joseph and say, Joseph, her husband, couldn't go to Joseph and say, we're going to have a baby. That's not going to work because he knows what she knows. And that's not going to work. So she took a little hint from the angel himself. And here's what she did. And Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Now, listen, this is not a story that they tell down at Jonesboro. Okay? Storytelling days. This is not for storytelling days. This is for a time when we come into the house of God to worship the Almighty God of heaven and praise His name for not only what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will continue to do. That's who I'm talking about, and that's who we're worshiping and praising today. So when she was told this, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Does that scare you? Shouldn't scare you if you're a child of God. It shouldn't scare you to know that a person can be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not turning Pentecostal on you. I'm still who I am. This is not a second working of grace I'm pointing to you at all. When I got saved, I accepted the Holy Spirit who took up His abode inside me. That's what happened. That's why things are different. That's why we have a new song. That's why we're different than when we were. We now want to live according to what God says in His Word. That's what happens when a person gives their life to Jesus Christ, and here it is. So when she was told, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now she's not her cousin anymore. Did you notice that? She's still her cousin, but she's more than that now. She is the mother of her Lord. Elizabeth had it right. She recognized what was going on. "And lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." She even knew why the babe leaped now. There was a joy. When you all get some joy in your life, do you want to jump a little, maybe move a little quicker, maybe dance a little on your feet? Does it bring a little energy to your step? Somebody say, yeah. Oh, yes, it does. Well, that's exactly what happened here. When this news was told, the babe leaped in her womb for joy. "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord." That's why we're here. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Magnify. Make Him, you can't make Him big enough in your mind and heart, folks. We can't. But we magnify Him, and we continue to magnify Him as long as God gives us breath. Now, here's what happened. Here's what happened. Here's the new song. Finally got to the point, didn't it? Finally got to the point where Mary's new song was. Look at verse 47, if you will. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." She's talking about her baby, but she recognizes Him as her Savior. "For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden," realizes who she is. "For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name." Now think about what the Lord has done for you. He's done for you what He did for Mary. Mary just was in a different spot, and He was using her in a different way. "And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent away, empty away. He hath opened His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." What He promised, He did. God has always done what He promised He was going to do. always. And from Psalm 98 all the way forward to the New Testament, where he was born in a manger in Bethlehem, and all the things that happened in Mary's heart and Elizabeth's heart, the same things happened in our hearts, because we have been redeemed. We have been owned by him. We have been paid for. There is no cost anymore. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, it didn't cost you one penny to have him as your Savior, Lord and Master, and for you to have a ticket to go to heaven. Probably the first free ticket for that distance you've ever had, right? It's going to be a good trip, folks. Get ready for that trip. Let's take a look at it now. So here's what happened. Now we're going to look at this psalm broken up in two ways. And one of them is that we're going to see the glory of the Lord in the very first part of it. The glory of our Redeemer. I want you to think of him as your Redeemer today. The glory of our Redeemer. And then the second part will be the joy of the redeemed. If this is the glory of the Redeemer, shouldn't there be a joy of the redeemed? Well, we'll get to that. Let's go ahead and jump into it. Because he's talking about here in verse 1, the song and the strength of the Lord. Let's read it back over. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. The word for could be because, gives us a reason to sing this new song. For he hath done marvelous things, his right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. God wants his people to sing. It doesn't matter to me if you can carry a tune in a bucket. He wants you to sing. Because the song he wants you to sing is in your heart, not from your vocal cords and out. That's not what he's talking about at all. Even though some folks have a tendency to sing, some do not, it's okay, because he's talking about a song in your heart. So God wants you to sing, and he has given you a song. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, if you're a born-again child of God, you have a song to sing, and he wants you to sing. This psalmist called for a new song. He did. And when he called for it, he sat down and wrote the song. Now, I want you to think of it like that. If you have been so blessed as to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he wants you to sing, I'm saying to you, sit down, which you already are, and I want you to think about how blessed you are, and I want you to, in your heart and soul, write a song. Have you never done that before? Have you never, something ever stirred your heart and soul so wonderfully that you started trying to sing a song about the situation that you're in? Have you never done that? Well, if you haven't, you've missed something, okay? Because I've written many songs that way. Didn't put one of them down on paper, but, you know, you go down the road and God just blesses you up one side and down the other, and you know there's a song in there somewhere. And you just start putting out words, and they may not even rhyme. It doesn't matter, because what you're feeling in your heart's what you're saying. And God's not even listening to what's coming out of your mouth anyway. He sees the song in your heart, and he's already put a good tune to it. And that's why it comes out so sweet to you, no matter what it would sound like to someone else. You're singing the song that's in your heart because you have a perfect, wonderful relationship with the God in heaven. So I'm asking you, when you get alone somewhere, sit down and write a song in your heart. You don't have to put it down on paper, but it might be good. You could share it with the church. Even if you didn't want to put a tune to it, you could come and read it and say, this was what I come up with in my heart. Would that be good? You can do that. You can share that with your brothers and sisters here. The door's open for you to do that. But see, what this psalmist did was, he sat down and he wrote Psalm 98. Just for him. No. Did it for me. God, through him, did it for me. He knew I would want to know what's in Psalm 98 today. And Psalm 98 is for you. The Holy Spirit saw this psalm so wonderfully when David wrote it that he penned it and put it in the Word of God himself. See, the Holy Spirit is the one who makes sure we have the canon of the Bible. And nobody's going to change it. No one. I know that this world's elements wants to take the Bible completely away. We know all about taking it out of our schools, out of our courthouses, out of everything. You see, Satan, this is Satan's world. If you forget that, you'll forget what's going on in this world. This is Satan's world. Even though you enjoy what God has created, you got to understand that the spirit of Satan is here. That's why the Bible says he is going about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to ruin your life. He does. But you see, if you're saved and ready to go to heaven, you have it on him. He can't change you. And he can't change the Word of God. He can't. The Word of God is the Word of God. That part he can't do. So that's where the Lord wants us. He wants us to sing a new song. He wants it to come from our hearts. And then he says this. This is not just the new song he wants us to sing. He's now, for his glory, showing us the strength that he has. And we know that he's omnipotent, don't we? We know he is. The Bible says he is. His right hand and his holy arm. All the time when he speaks of his right hand and his holy arm, he speaks of his strength. So anywhere in the Word of God that you read about his right hand, that is because he's speaking of his strength. And that's why in the Song of Solomon, and I know I bring this out mostly when I speak of this, is because I love the Song of Solomon. It's such a wonderful book. And it is a parallel of the church and your relationship with Christ. It is. But folks, it's more than that. It is a story of a relationship between a man and a woman. And when it calls about the man putting his hand under her head, holding her with his right hand, that means that he is the strong one who is promising her that he'll be everything he possibly can be to her. She's in the strength of his hand. And when the Lord mentions his right hand, he's talking about his strength. So here's what it says about his strength. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Had it not been for his strength, his omnipotence, he would not have gotten the victory, but he does have it. And because he has it, you have it. He doesn't have anything that you don't have as his child, because he shares. Unlike some of us sometimes, he shares. He shares everything he is with you and me. Whatever events happen in this life for you, God's hand is in it. His strong arm is in it. He is in control of your life. And I'm looking here at every face in here, and I haven't missed a face yet this morning. I promise you, I haven't. Whatever is going on in your life, if it's not good to you, if it's a stress to you, I got good news for you. God's in control of it. You're not. You may feel like you don't have any control whatsoever about what's going on in your life. It doesn't make any difference what other people think about what's going on in your life. It doesn't make any difference if they think you're out of control. You know, some folks will think that about you sometimes. They'll think you're out of control. You don't know what you're doing. You're all messed up. You're not doing anything right. Well, let me tell you something. Remind them sometime that you aren't in control, that God's in control. It's his hand and his arm. That's who's in control of your life. Every event in your life, he is in control of it. So just allow him to be that. That's what he wants to be. I don't know about you, but knowing that when I get to a point to where I say, I don't know what to do, Lord, he says, that's okay, I'm in control. If you'll just be faithful to me and trust me to handle your life, it'll happen. May not happen today the way you want it, but it'll happen because I'm in control. I know when best to let it happen. Well, if I know that, doesn't that create a new song in me? That makes me want to sing a new song. And so I can make that up. Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Add a few other words that's already been sung. Thank you for making me whole. That's all in another song, but I can tell you how it makes me feel to know that He's in my life and His right hand and His arm is there for me. The same hand, that same hand that did all those things in the Old and New Testament is the same hand that guides my everyday life. That was the reason for singing that song this morning. And it didn't matter that I messed it up. The words were all there. I did get all the words in. So I hope that knowing that same hand is the same hand that's in your life, that you'll enjoy that. Verse 2, listen to this. The Lord hath made known His salvation. Now, here is proof that no one will ever go through this life not knowing about the salvation of God. Because He tells us in verse 2 of Psalm 98, the Lord hath made known His salvation. And if the Lord has made it known, He is not a respecter of persons. Everyone will know. Now, whether everyone accepts or not is another question. But He will make it known to everybody. And His righteousness hath He openly shown in the sight of the heathen. The person who does not believe, he knows about it anyway. He has put the light on it to the heathen's eyes, and the heathen is there now knowing. There will be no excuse when we face God that I didn't know about this salvation you're talking about. There will be no excuse. The Lord hath made known His salvation. And in verse 3, He said, He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our Lord. Everyone, all people, His mercy, even when we are not merciful, He is merciful. He hath remembered His mercy. He will never forget His mercy. That doesn't mean that He remembers His mercy every once in a while. He never forgets His mercy toward us. So when I forget Him, He never forgets me. Would that create a song? When you understand that even though we as human beings do forget Him sometimes, we forget to worship Him, we forget to praise Him, we forget to recognize Him for who He is and what He is, He never forgets us. It hurts His heart that we forget Him, but He never forgets us. And I want to thank Him for that, and I want to sing a song, don't you? I want to sing a song. I want when people see me, they see something going on in my face that tells them there's a song going on in there somewhere. Yeah. The result. Here's where we begin to see in verse 4, we begin to see the joy that comes to the person who's redeemed. Now you've seen the Redeemer. You've seen what He is in the first three verses. Verse 4, He says, make a joyful noise. Are you ready? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. This is where the joy of the redeemed comes in. If you know you're redeemed, if you know you've been bought with a price, you accepted that price and you said, Lord, I am so thankful that I have accepted Your price for my salvation.